So good to see all of you this morning on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are glad that you are here today, and we want to welcome all of you and those that may be listening online later this week. And we have come to enter in and receive of the grace and mercy and love of God as we gather, not only for worship, but also receiving from the table today at the Lord's Supper there in communion. So, and then later on, as we fellowship and share at our fall cookout today. So we're glad that you're here, and we welcome you again. And a little bit later on, we'll be talking about how God specializing in finding what is lost and inviting us to a party that He encourages us to celebrate with Him. So let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria as we begin this morning. Together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Come and worship. The storms of life are not the end.
May God's holy presence fill our hearts.
Come, O Christ, turn us to your holy promises.
May your word be renewed in us today.
Come, O Spirit, refine us for good works. Well, let's join together there. If you'd like to turn in your hymn books, it's hymn number 542, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning as we sing the three verses.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us far. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us far.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Oh God, stretch our hearts and saturate our souls so we may be formed anew in this time of worship. Let thanksgiving rise from open doors you place in our path at every turn. Call forth all as we worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite our children, if they would make their way down this morning.
Over and tell them to come on. as I found the point. Now, do you invite your neighbors over when you find something you lost? No. It's, you know what? Jesus is telling this story. He's kind of exaggerating a little bit to get us to see how much God loves us and cares about us. Because he says that God is always looking for us, always wanting us to be a part of what God is doing. And if we're not, we're missing out. We're missing out. And guess what? Like that lady that lost her coin and went searching for us, when we're missing out on what God's doing, God's like, come on, Oliver. I want you to be a part of it. You gotta keep being a part of what I'm doing because I want to be you to be a part of it and celebrate with me. And guess what? God does that for all of us and everybody here. Because God wants us to be a part of this kingdom party. Do you like going to parties? Do you like going to your friends' parties? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a really good friend and they had a birthday party and you didn't get invited? Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad that. Yeah, because did that happen to you? Did it make you feel sad? Oh, yeah. Guess what? God always wants us to come to the party and be a part of what God is doing. He doesn't want us to miss out because we are there to help God in our world to make it a better place. Okay? All right. You can go on downstairs this morning.
And as they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and we want to give you a chance to share your joys and concerns. So somebody this morning, who would like to start us this morning? Okay. Somebody else? Good. Unspoken? Hey. Whose sister?
His younger sister.
Judy?
I thought it was his sister-in-law. Is it sister-in-law?
Is it sister or sister-in-law?
Stacy, that had the stroke.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about any of that, so. Okay, what is her first name?
Cheryl.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, once I hear the name, then I remember. Yeah. Because we pray for so many every week, so yeah. Okay, I'm just going to, since that was brought back, I know how much you love that, but it's very hard for her to play that. So please don't make her feel guilty if she goes back to the piano. I'm serious, yes, because it's harder for her, yes, to be able to do that. And we don't want to lose our, where we have nobody. So she still compares to how other churches pay their organists once in a while. somebody else, joys or concerns this morning? Yeah. It, what is it exactly?
MRSA.
Oh, that's, yes, sorry. Yep, I remember seeing that come through on the prayer chain. Yeah, that's some nasty stuff too. Somebody else, Oh, gosh. We're going to start in the front and move back. Go ahead. Unspoken. Okay.
Kim Collins, that we prayed for that her legs amputated, she passed away this past week.
Oh.
She had complications.
So we want to. From heart? Oh, wow. Okay. So we want to remember the Collins family with the loss of that loved one there. Yep.
Yeah. And Marcia, the Evans case, she just got over having her third hip replacement, lost her husband, and she fell the other day. And now she's, her right arm, shoulder, she had surgery yesterday morning.
Oh, boy.
So she's going to have to go to therapy again.
Okay, so we want to remember her. I thought, what's his name, bought it out from under her? The one that,
Michael,
yes, yeah. Yeah, we, in fact, I heard that like 10 years ago that he bought that out and took it over. So I know she was still working there because she wanted something to do, but wow. Okay, that was a crazy story that got passed around. Go ahead. Who did you say it was?
Doug Christian.
Doug Christian? Okay. All right. Okay, so we want to remember Doug with stomach pains and all that, whatever's going on there until they find out. Somebody else. I thought there was one more, maybe not.
Kate Davis.
Yes, thank you.
How about just our nation?
What's that?
The Charlie Kirk family.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Yeah, and you've heard me say stuff about that before in the past when these kind of shootings happen. There's just no place for that. And I don't care who the person is, what political affiliation they are, that stuff should not be happening in our country. And yeah, so I talked about that when it happened before, so, and yes. Somebody else, yeah.
I had Garland say it.
Yes, thank you. I started to write that down. Yes, we want to remember Kate Anderson in our prayers. That's Grant and Parker's sister who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I'm not sure, are they going to have to do surgery or what's the, okay. And then probably treatments after that. Okay. Okay. So definitely, gosh, when I heard that, it about broke my heart when it came across on the prayer chain. And Jody said she already knew about it. She said Kate shared it on Facebook. And I don't know how I missed it, but I did. And yeah, so we want to remember her, and we'll probably, I don't know if maybe one of you guys can fill out one of the prayer slips that's on the back table and give it to me, and then we'll get her on the monthly as she goes through that, because we did that for several months when Oscar was going through it. So, yes. Unspoken. Okay. Somebody else?
Well, I faced baby got to go home last week.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. So, glad. But you got time, so, yeah. That, great. Yes, and that's wonderful because, yeah. So, did I see another hand? Okay.
Our friend Tim Taylor that lives down in Middletown was diagnosed with cancer in the mouth.
I thought we had had him on the prayer list a long time ago for that. Okay, okay. Then we want to remember Tim and our prayers this morning then. Anybody else?
The soldiers on the Eastern Front of Poland who got shot by the Russian drones this week.
Now that I did not hear about.
They went into Poland.
Okay. For the soldiers that were shot at, and you said one was killed or were there several? Okay. Okay. Yeah. I knew that excursion went into it and everything. And yeah. And the Polish responded to it. But I hadn't heard any more on that. So, but that's a That's a touchy situation. We definitely want to pray for that because we don't need that war to escalate and turn into a big thing. So, anybody else this morning? We want to continue lifting up Greg in our prayers. I was talking to his granddaughters at the junior high this week and said, Grandpa's walking around like stiff-legged and because he has no knee right now and he's going to be without that until everything's healed up and making sure infection's all gone, and then they're going to put the new knee in. So we want to keep him in our prayers. I talked to Ben's mom this week, also at school. She said he's still recovering, has some memory issues, and sometimes communicating in speech and stuff once in a while. But she said he's doing much better, and I'm glad for that. Wanted to let you know Jody's cousin, Dustin, that's on there, that was got squished in between the truck and the loading dock. Thankful, we're very thankful for the rubber bumpers, or he would not be here today. But I told you he'd broken his bottom ribs and other things and cracked vertebrae in his back. He finally got released from the hospital in Cleveland, is back home in Columbus now and recovering. And I'm sure that's going to be one of those things where it's just going to be a long healing, recovering process. Appreciate your prayers for him. Anybody else then before we go to prayer?
Yeah, I spent the last couple of days away from home, and we're going to be dealing with something that might be a big deal for the church, so might want to see us after church.
Okay. All right. Somebody else? Anybody else? Okay, lots of, almost my entire page is filled up there of ones to pray for today. And let me write something down there. So we'll give you a chance to pray for some of these. Maybe some of these names come to your mind and you want to lift up some of those names to God while she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Grateful today that you are in this very room with us. Your presence, your love, your grace, your goodness, your favor. And Lord, we think about all the ones that have been mentioned today. So many of them that are in need. Just the different ones, Jack and Ellen this morning, Doug, Doug's relative, Lord. For Cheryl this morning, for Jason this morning, for Marcia this morning, for the other Doug, Lord, for Kate this morning, for Tim, God, and for Greg and Ben and Dustin, Lord. God, we lift up each one of these that are dealing with physical aspects of need of healing and grace and strength and faith and courage. And Lord, we just reach out to you for each one of them, God, asking for your healing touch, your healing blessing. A few of them are going to eventually be going for surgery, Lord. We ask that you would guide and bless and direct there. And Lord, just so many of them, Lord, today that When we see others hurting, Lord, we feel that too, Lord. And so we lift them up to you, God, asking for grace and strength in the middle of all of this today. Lord, we also lift up the Collins family and the Kirk family, God, asking for your grace, your peace, your comfort, God, in the midst of the loss, Lord, and in the one family, just the tragic loss, God. We ask for your comfort and grace today and strength, Lord, today. Lord, we continue to pray for peace in our nation, peace around the world, peace with this situation in Russia and Ukraine and now Poland, Lord, although there's just that excursion there. But God, we pray for peace, Lord. And Lord, please don't let that escalate, Lord. May there be able to be ways of dealing with that as only you can bring about. And we're grateful and thankful. And we end up continue praying for our world and how we think violence fixes everything and solves everything, but it only perpetuates violence in our world. And we ask for alternative ways and leaders that can think of alternative ways in the midst of all of this today. Lord, we lift up the four unspoken needs that were mentioned, Lord. We know that you know each one of them today. We ask that you administer and be with them. We think about our men and women that are serving not only in Poland, but are in other places around the world, trying to make a difference and be there to deter violence and war, Lord. And we just ask for your blessing, God, upon them and protection, Lord. And we think about all those on our monthly list, Lord, some of those facing more long-term afflictions and battles, God. We ask for strength, for peace, for grace today, for healing touch, Lord, as only you can do, as we lift them all up to you. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather to worship. As we break the bread of your word today, may it encourage us and speak to us and remind us of why we celebrate today. Because you are always seeking out and looking for the lost, Lord, and restoring people, because you don't want anyone to miss out on what you're doing in our world today. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Lord, what you're doing in this world is often unseen. It's not noticed by the majority, because it's about peace and love and grace. And all we can see is the fear of war and violence and destruction and so many other things, exploitation, all the things that the world and the way the world operates. But God, you teach us a different way, a kingdom way, your reign, the reign of the heavens. And you call us to walk a different path. And we're grateful and thankful that you call us to be a part of that. What you call a party. What you call of celebrating at a table. And Lord, I ask your blessing as we celebrate at your table today, that we might receive your strength and healing and blessing and grace and forgiveness today. As we ask all of these things this morning in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thine. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And as I always share, thank you for your faithfulness. And it's how God uses us to be a part of the church and kingdom work in our world today, making a difference in people's lives. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Oh God, thank you for helping us practice our faith through this offering. May it supply faith, worship, hope, word, food, clothes, and shelter, all for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. So it wasn't until after the service last week that I realized I didn't share a joke. I'm surprised I did not get bombarded last week about that. anyways. So our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary gospel reading this morning. It's been a while since we've been in the Gospels, but we're looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint there. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulder. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, celebrate with me because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house and search her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both life and, or both heart and life. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. On the way to preschool, a doctor had left her stethoscope on the car seat. Her little boy, who was sitting in the back car seat, picked it up and began playing with it. In that moment, when the mother saw that, she thought, "Oh, be still my heart. You want to be a doctor. My son wants to follow in my footsteps." Then her little son spoke into the instrument and said, "Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order?" Crazy things about us parents, isn't it? I want to talk to you about lost and found this morning. Lost and found. More than likely, you spent time, like I was talking with the kids, hunting for something you've lost. Perhaps your car keys, the remote control. Yeah. Every day he said about losing remote control. And it's pretty bad when you're looking everywhere and then it's right down in the, right there. Your phone, some heirloom that you misplaced or something that you didn't want to lose. Or how about this? Some of you that are younger, you won't get this one. Maybe not yet anyways. Maybe you're old enough that you've hunted for your glasses only to realize that they're on your face or maybe up on your head. I remember one time I had my reading glasses up here and I was looking all over for them and I found them. That's not a happy moment. Not because you couldn't find them, but because you realize, wow, I'm getting older, aren't I? Or, how many of you remember this? If you're a parent of a little one, or at one time you were, and suddenly you start to panic because they disappear from your sight and you can't find them. I think that happened with every one of my kids, my two older daughters and Chase. That has happened at one time or another. And you know, in that moment, our heart races and you start moving faster and faster down the aisles or looking through clothing racks or whatever. Hey, I can remember when I was a kid. I don't know why I remember this. Remember in the malls, in the stores, women's stores, the clothes were on a circle thing. And I used to hide in there. And then my mom would be looking around for me and I'd go, "Whoo!" Come out and scare her. You finally see them or they come out or whatever it may be. And you have a sudden mixture of emotions. Either joy, or relief, or anger. Because you're like, "Don't ever do that again." Maybe it's both. Maybe you feel that way. You want to hug them or chew them out. Thankfully, God specializes in what is lost and invites us all to join in this great kingdom party. Now, in our story today, The religious leaders don't get it. They're missing what God is doing through Jesus in the world in that day and age, in that time. And they miss it. And why is Jesus, I mean, when they're upset, Jesus just keeps emphasizing this about why it's good to be partying and hanging out. I use the word party because it's modern day vernacular. A dinner party, I could say, for some of you that would rather hear something like that. Why? Why? Well, I think it's very clearly Jesus is trying to tell us a couple things, maybe more than that. But I'm going to focus on two. God seeks the lost. God seeks the lost. And here's what I want you to see. That's kind of a statement that doesn't surprise us or, oh, that's not a great revelation or something like that. But here's the one thing I do want you to see in all this. God risks finding us. God risks finding us. Like a woman turning her house upside down while searching for a coin she had lost. Remember I said something about those coins. I think I said five, but I think in our reading it was 10, wasn't it? If I remember right. 10 and lost one. Why is Jesus telling us that story? What is so important about that 10 days at least of living or pay? Which may extend out into either in living even further than those 10 days. Maybe that's part of her legacy. We might say it's part of our retirement. You know, why was she willing to do that? Like a shepherd who risks the other sheep to bring home that one. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why is God willing to risk things to bring those lost ones home? In fact, Jesus doesn't even stop there. He says God, or if you want to say heaven, celebrates the recovery and restoration of the lost. Notice how the parable twice gets emphasized. It ends with joy. Jesus tells the first one about the sheep and the shepherd and that lost one. And then he tells about the woman and the lost coin and how she finds it. And each of those end with, hey, they invite their neighbors and friends and they're going to party and have a good time and celebrate. The shepherd calls them together as he puts that lamb on his shoulder and returns it to the flock. And the woman calls them all together, and Jesus tells us there's more rejoicing in heaven over the lost and found ones than what we can imagine. God seeks the lost. Second thing I see there is that God welcomes everyone to the party. God welcomes everyone to the party. One of the things I think that kind of comes out in this story for us today is that Jesus carries out what God desires in this situation. When Jesus tells this parable, he's not just telling it for the sake of entertaining some people. He's wanting them to get a hold of, this is what God desires. Those that have strayed, those that are missing out on what God is doing, those that maybe never have experienced what God is doing. I remember several years ago, maybe more than that, it could have been a decade ago, I remember hearing one of my pastor friends in our association. We were at, I think it was an association meeting, and they were talking about how Jesus and the church is in the business of helping people see what they're missing out on. And that's God's grace and forgiveness. That's what the party's all about. And being a part of the celebration and what God is doing in our world. And as I prayed it earlier, or at least, I mean, it just popped in my head when I was praying it, is all we see is the bad that's going on in the world. And we don't see what God is up to in our world. Why? Because we are attuned to to what is going on in the world where we live at. We are not as much attuned to what God is doing in and behind the scenes through people's lives and through people and making a difference and through churches. And so we get overwhelmed by what we see and what we know that's happening in the United States of America, and we miss what God is doing. Because we can't see that, because that is not where we really live at. The problem is Jesus is trying to get his disciples, those first followers, and us today to see where reality really is, and that's what God is up to. It's what the kingdom, his reign, his actions in our world, and what's going on. And that's why Jesus is doing this. He sits down with them. We don't see anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus sits down with the Roman rulers or the officials. Now, there are stories where the Gospel writers tell us that religious scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees come in and they listen to what Jesus is saying to find out what's going on. But some of them accuse Jesus of eating and drinking, or if you want to say partying with sinners. And I'm sure some of them were probably saying, what kind of Messiah is that? Because they had a view, just like we do today. Now I want you to hear this morning, because this really struck me as I was thinking about this. In fact, I think that the question I'm going to share with you is something I read by somebody, and then that triggered it all for me. How does Jesus respond to those religious leaders, his critics? We might think, or might even say, this is what he should be doing. But we might think Jesus should be confronting those people, telling them the truth, and setting them straight. Because that's the way we feel about things today, with our faith and everything. Yet Jesus doesn't do or say anything like that at all. In fact, all Jesus does is invites all the outcasts to the kingdom party. Everybody that they thought were sinners, everybody that were on the margins, everybody that we don't want to associate with, those are the ones Jesus said, come on. In fact, in one place, when Jesus' teachings, he says that those people that you reject are going to make it into the kingdom faster than the religious people. Whoa. I remember the very first time I ever read that, and I was like, whoa. Jesus tells his critics that God loves a party. A party when a woman finds a lost coin or a shepherd finds a lost sheep. And I want you to notice something this morning. All the actions that are taking place in the two parables are the actions of a seeking shepherd and a searching woman. And these are stories, at least in this instance, not all parables you can do this with, but in this instance, they're stories about God, about who God is and what God is doing. And here's what I want you to see this morning. God doesn't wait until we come to our senses to receive him. When I was growing up, not necessarily, when I was a teenager and kind of really started to feel the call of God on my life, sometimes in the preaching that came across, you got the idea, you got to give up this, you got to quit doing that, and then God will accept you and save you. But guess what? That's not even in Scripture. Here's what we see. God doesn't wait until we get our act together to receive us. God goes searching for us when we're lost, when we don't care, when we're missing out on what God is doing. God isn't sitting around waiting for people to get their act together, gazing at their lostness up in heaven high above them. No, God seeks us out right where we live. And how do we know that? We know the story. Jesus, God sent Jesus, who became human and walked among us, searching and seeking all those out. I hope you realize that we are not here this morning because of something we have done. Because of something that we have decided to do, it's because of what God has done in Christ. We are here because in some way or another, God found us. And that's why we're here today. What's our response then to this seeking, searching God? Well, allow ourselves to be found. Allow ourselves to be loved. Allow ourselves to receive of His grace. Allow ourselves to follow Christ and share in His work. What is His work? Finding the lost and celebrating being found. Helping people to be a part of what God is up to. All are invited to the party. That's the good news this morning. Lost and found. Amen and amen. Well, we are going to prepare for communion. And, I was thinking about that just a minute as I was closing the message. Often I talk about how we're going to receive of His grace at the table and as we share together. Maybe there's been a few times where I've said receive of His healing or of something else as we share at the table. And as I was talking about that this morning, I thought, are we willing to allow ourselves to receive? You know, there's not just people out there in the world that I've met that think they're too bad for God. And I wonder sometimes how they get that idea. But I've even met Christians that think they're too bad to receive from God. Listen, we celebrate this because of what Jesus did. And He invites us all to receive. And so let's prepare our hearts as we join together in preparation for our time. Let's join together for our thanksgiving and confession. Blessed are You, O Lord, our God. You are gracious and merciful, washing us clean from our sin and delivering us from evil. Recalling Your goodness and grace, we offer ourselves to You with gratitude as we share this joyful feast. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us as we share this bread and cup. Make us one in the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive that today. Receive that washing. Receive that mercy. Receive that grace. Receive that healing or whatever else you may need today because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, those that are helping us out this morning, if they would begin to make their way. And then we will be sharing together at the table. Thank you. on that night in which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." And I know a lot of times we rightly so, we kind of reverently during communion, but also we must remember today that it's part of the celebration of what God has done for us, and we're a part of that. Well, shake one or two hands, because we're kind of going over, and then we're going to sing, and we'll get to hang out and talk and fellowship downstairs for our cookout. So just a handshake or two, and then we'll move on to sing our little chorus there. As you stand and do that. Let's sing it together. Gentle Shepherd, there. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help to find a way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for there's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Well, let that be our prayer today. And now let's join together for our benediction. Live out the message of Christ's love. Be persistent in prayer and practice good deeds of the gospel.
We will carry out the ministry of Christ our Lord.
May God bless and keep our going out and our coming in. From this time on and forevermore. Amen.